Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gate.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on Christian Sentinel Radio, which is on Blog Talk Radio, which is the network of Jackie Alnor. And we have a YouTube channel that's under my name, Susan Puzio. And I also have a startup. Kind of a startup. It's been around for a while. Greedy Preachers TV, but I need to add some more videos over there. Greedy Preachers TV, amen. There's enough of that going on television. And we have our website, propheticnews.com. We have two books. And if you go to Amazon, and you can either put in my name, Susan Puzio, and I have a new book out on Paula White. It's a short book, 100-something pages. And anyway, but it's got some good information in there. And it's called Paula White, Renegade Presidential Spiritual Advisor, Heretic in the White House, The Miracle-Selling Huckster Who Became the Spiritual Advisor to the World's Most Powerful Man. Now, how does that happen? How does that happen? The other day, poor Paula, she was moaning that she doesn't understand when she sees an article about her, I guess a negative article. She can't understand how people don't see that. She's been doing this for 36 years, and she prays, and she's in the Word, and she just can't understand it. Well, maybe if you would read some of those articles, you might find out, or read my book, or listen to the Holy Spirit. Because if you're really born again, which I doubt Paula White is, you get convicted of sin. And she can say one thing, but if you're on her email list or her mailing list and you get her begging, manipulating emails where she's got every kind of scam going to extract your cash from your bank account into her. So it's like she can't get it. But unfortunately, that's the way the church looks today. And I know my brother there, the Wolf Tracker, he was saying in one of his broadcasts that people say, well, you can't go to church. And you can still go to church online. You can still have church. Just because you can't go to a building doesn't mean you can't have church. So he was saying that the main reason why they want to get you into the building is because they can manipulate you better once you're in there to get you to get your checkbook out or put the offering plate in front of you. So it's a little bit harder for them to do it online. They like those warm bodies in the seats. And as you can see, for the most part, it created a monster that needs to be fed. But we don't know what's going to happen in the future. Will life ever return to normal? I don't know. I really don't know. It's abnormal. The way everything is. And sometimes you get a little flashback as to how life used to be. And it's not that way anymore, when you could just drive over to the mall and you could get out of your car and go shopping and try on clothes or whatever us girls like to do. And so Or you could go out to a football game, or you go to visit your, if you have parents that live in a nursing home, people can't even go and visit their relatives. And someone that I know, their husband passed away last week, and they didn't see him for a month. And then they die alone. Nobody can be there. It's just awful. Just really awful. So that's the condition we have now. And whether or not after, of course, I don't know if there was a big relief program that went on for the churches. The Trump administration made sure that they gave the churches this PPP money, which is Payroll Protection Plan, and so that these churches could pay their staff. Whether they needed the money or not, most notably was the Daystar television network, Marcus and Joni Lamb, which they're loaded with money. They take in, I think, well over $50 million a year. But he had to take $5 million from the payroll protection plan to pay staff, or who knows what he did with the money. But there was quite a few of these pimp preachers that took millions of dollars. Even Paula White had her hand in the pot. I think she got $350,000. Mother Teresa there. Don't let Paula fool you, or any, most of these ministries, when they say, we're feeding the poor, we're feeding hundreds of thousands of pounds of food. Okay, what they fail to tell you, for the most part, is the food is being donated to them. So they're not actually spending any money for food, but they become distribution points where organizations like Second Harvest, and I think there's one Feeding America, they get millions of dollars, and they give these churches grants where they, for instance, Paula White's ministry got $146,000 in grants last year, where that translated into free food. So Mother Teresa over there, she's not actually buying the food, but she wants you to believe, because it's a good fundraising thing to say, we're feeding people, we're feeding millions of pounds of food. She does say we're a distribution center, but she fails to tell the public that probably most of the food is being donated to her. So Mother Teresa is not actually doing the feeding. And I think even Benny Hinn jumped on the feeding bandwagon, because yeah, people say, wow, look at that ministry. They're helping hurting people. Well, yeah, the people are getting the food, which is great. But they're asking for volunteers to help give the food out and to unpack the boxes. And so, you know, just be honest with people. I don't know why these people just can't be honest, but they always have to have some kind of a gimmick to raise funds. And I know last week we did our program on tithing. So some people might say, well, aren't we supposed to give? We should give, but God can tell you what to give. You don't need to be manipulated into having somebody else tell you what you have to give. And then I heard that Gloria Copeland the other day, supposedly she's supposed to be some great Bible teacher, and she's been studying the Bible for many years. I don't know what Bible she's reading, because she told people that if they didn't tithe, they couldn't get God's protection plan. Oh, I didn't know that I had to pay God for protection. What are you talking about? So, yeah. Why the purpose of giving, like Jesus said when he was rebuking the Pharisees, and he told them, yeah, you like to tithe. Yeah, you like to tithe mint and rue. He didn't say money, of course, because it wasn't money. But he said, you you don't look at the weightier matters of the law. It's the love. It's all about love. It's about loving your neighbor as yourself and considering somebody else, like the Apostle Paul said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that's the thing. It's not that. Don't misinterpret what we're saying as to say, well, you mean we can't give? Yeah, you can give. And if you want to tithe, go ahead, tithe. But you're not required to. God's not going to get mad at you if you don't. And he's certainly not going to remove his protection plan. And they like to make it like he's the mafia Don God that you need to pay when he goes from door to door. And either you pay up or your windows get broken or your washing machine breaks down or your car breaks down or whatever. I have heard preachers say that. It's like, enough of that already. Please stop. Oh, I'm telling you, it's just so wonderful to be free. Oh, here's somebody in my chat room saying that the swaggerts took paycheck protection money. Oh, please. The swaggerts take in, they're always having a telethon. Every month they have a telethon. And I think they take in $3 to $4 million at a clip on those telethons. And you mean to tell me that $40 million or $50 million a year isn't enough money? They had to take the payroll protection plan money from the government. Now, that's sad. That's really sad. But I just have a feeling. I could be wrong. Now, I really could be wrong. But I have a feeling that when this new administration comes in and they don't like these so-called Christians, of course, you know, Trump was courting us because he wanted our votes, even though he did a terrible thing with these vaccines. And we're going to get into that. But wouldn't it be something if the next administration says to these people, you have to pay it back? And they just might do it, you know. They just might do it. Oh, dear. Oh, God help us. Anyway, it would have been nice if some of these hurting people, and notice that here it's been months upon months upon months, and there hasn't been any money relief for the average business person or the average family that could sure use a handout about right now, right? Some people haven't been able to work, and they're forever closing down these cities. And I noticed, though, when we had the lockdowns here in Florida, of course, our governor has been keeping the state open, which is great, but they didn't close down the supermarkets, and they didn't close down Home Depot, and they didn't close down the big box stores. They weren't telling people that they couldn't congregate in there. No, and they still don't close those places down. I don't know if they close these places down in California or not. I know the Sister Shannon is in San Diego and said, I know they're in a lockdown there. But I don't know if they closed down the supermarkets and the big box stores. Probably not. They didn't do it here. Certain places were able to stay open. And so there was a big dust up the other night in Staten Island with a bar owner, and he wanted to keep his bar open. He says that he didn't have any, nobody ever got sick at his place. And so the governor there, Cuomo, and the other, that crazy mayor they have over there, de Blasio. And so they told him that he couldn't have his bar open. And supposedly there's like two sections in Staten Island or something like that. And he said a block away, people were allowed to go and eat in restaurants. And his section, you couldn't, they were going to close it down. So he decided he was going to make an autonomous zone which remember they did that in Portland and the police left them alone even after they burned down a police precinct. It was crazy, right? And so how many days did that go on before they ever closed them down? No, they didn't. It went on for days and days. And so this is how crazy this stuff is. And so this man with the bar there in Staten Island, he decided he was going to have his autonomous zone and keep his place open. Well, that didn't last long. They came and they arrested one of the owners. And they actually had 24 sheriff's deputies standing in front of this bar so that people wouldn't go inside. I'm like, what? Where were you when they were burning down New York City? You can't believe the world has gone insane. And sometimes I have to scratch my head and say, what am I doing here? This is the craziest place. I never saw such a crazy place. They want picking on a bar owner who's just trying to earn a living. He's not making millions of dollars. He's probably just supporting his family. And they're going to stop him from earning a living. And yet you can have people burning down cities. And that was allowed. Yeah. It's like, Jesus, please get us out of here. Craziest thing. Anyway, so I don't know what's going to happen with this guy. He said something about they fined him $50,000. And we'll see what happens. They're kind of following the story on the news. I'm sure there's plenty of other people that are in the same situation where it must be so hard for people to have to support their family. I know one of my relatives, she's an older person like me, and she's a grandmother, and she's now a school principal because she's at home with her grandchildren, and they're doing the online classes, the Zoom classes, but she has to be the principal. So she didn't know she was going to be a principal when she was 70. Oh, what do people do? Their kids have to go to school. They have to learn. Some people can do homeschooling, and that's great, really. But some people can't do it. They have to work. The mother and the father both have to work. So I don't see things getting back to normal anytime soon. And I don't see an end to this thing, really. I don't care how many people they vaccinate, because these vaccinations haven't been proven. Oh, well, they say they're effective, but yet again, you don't know what kind of side effects people are going to get. And the crazy stuff that's in some of these vaccines, you wouldn't want it anyway. So I don't know. We just have to stand strong in the Lord, because we are living in the strangest times of my lifetime, and I'm sure the strangest times of many of you out there that you've ever seen in your life. So we have the truth on our side. Thank God we have the Lord Jesus Christ. And he helps us, and he gives us wisdom, and he can even give us peace in the midst of a storm, and he can even give us joy in the midst of a storm. So it just remains to be seen what's going to happen to all of us in the days ahead. And whatever happens, I say, well, it's God's will. Because none of us a year ago ever thought we were going to be living like this, right? We never, never thought that it was going to be like this. It's kind of like the Twilight Zone. And they're even saying that in some places, when you go out for a walk, you have to have a mask on, or you go for a bike ride. No. And anyway, a lot of those masks are toxic. You can make your own. And I made my own out of cotton. And then you can put that other thing, those other ones, those paper masks, you can put it over there. But those masks are toxic. And so people are inhaling that stuff all day long, too. And that's not healthy. So it's better to make your own. And then you can put that other one over it. So then you have double protection. Some people say masks work and some people say they don't work. Well, actually, if people are coughing and sneezing, no matter if they have coronavirus or not, even if they have the flu, you can catch it from people coughing and sneezing. So anyway, that's the thing. God help us. But anyway, today I wanted to talk a little bit more about these vaccines because they're getting ready to roll these things out, and they're actually going to roll these things out to the entire world eventually. How this coronavirus affected the whole world, will we ever know? I don't know. It's just weird that the whole world basically has been affected by this thing. How did it spread? Where did it really come from? And if it really did come from China, why hasn't the Chinese government been made to pay for the devastation that it's caused, especially to our economy? Okay, they say the economy is good right now, but I don't know how long it's going to last, because eventually all this is going to catch up with people. The airlines don't have as many people flying. The hotels don't have people staying in them like they did. There's a lot. Restaurants don't have the business that they used to have. You look at the NFL on Sunday, some of the stadiums are still empty. There's nobody going, so they're not making any money selling tickets to these football games. So eventually, I don't know how many people are going to malls anymore either. Eventually, it's going to catch up with people when they start spending. They've already spent their savings or whatever. And then reality is going to hit. So, but I had done a little bit of research this week when I found out about some of the ingredients in these coronavirus vaccines, which is shocking, really, because it's being promoted by the president, and that is terrible. To me, I felt very betrayed as a Christian and a pro-life person that these vaccines would be allowed to be developed, tested using aborted baby cell lines, and also that some of the vaccines actually contain aborted baby cell lines. They say they call them fetal cell lines. I don't like that word fetal. I never heard anybody say I'm pregnant with a fetus, or I have a fetal cell line growing inside of me. Nobody talks like that, but they put this word out there years ago where they decided to call an unborn baby a fetus. And because when you say the word aborted baby, it has more of an impact than aborted baby cell lines than a fetal cell line does, because you can't, sometimes people can't equate the two. Well, what's a fetal cell line? But so on Monday, I said, I'm going to do some of my own investigation about this to see. I need to check, because I wanted to know, well, let me see if I can find out exactly what the president knew Did some of these pro-life organizations contact him about the ethics of these vaccines and also the ethics of Regeneron and Remdesivir? So Monday I called, these are the people I called on Monday. I called the National Right to Life. They never called me back. I called the Georgia Right to Life. They never called me back. The reason I called the Georgia Right to Life was because they, according to the Christian Newswire, I think in May, they were trying to get a petition together to send to the president asking that he not use, he would not use the aborted baby cell lines in these vaccines or in the testing, since he was talking about giving these companies billions of dollars, and some of them took billions of dollars to develop these dastardly vaccines. And anyway, the Georgia Right to Life people never called me back, so I was never able to confirm anything with them. I call Focus on the Family. Now, you remember James Dobson was the big guy over there. Well, when you call, you get a salesperson, basically. I didn't have a phone number for a direct line to somebody else that I could talk to, so I called the main number. And they, you basically get a salesperson asking you if you'd like to sign up for the mailing list. And how did you hear about Focus on the Family? I said, I'm not calling about that. Can I please talk to somebody there? I'm calling to talk to somebody at the ministry because I want to know, since James Dobson has had access to President Trump, has he brought this up to him, this issue about using aborted baby cell lines in this vaccine that you're getting to roll out to millions of Americans that could have tremendous health issues over the vaccine, never mind the coronavirus? So they would never give me anybody. And she said that, well, she'd see if somebody could call me back. Well, they never called me back either. So then I called Family Research Council in New York. I never talked to anybody there. I talked to the operator. I talked to the operator, and she took down the information. I told her, I want to talk to somebody. Tony Perkins is the man's name that runs the place, and he's been around the president a lot. So I thought, let me talk to somebody and see if I can say to them, honestly, how could you support a president who says he's pro-life, and then he recommends the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which uses, it's called, I think they might say PERC6, it's PERC6, the number 6, and you can look that up, and you will see that it is a tissue from a retina, I believe it was a retina of an aborted baby that they have put into their vaccine. And so I wanted to ask these people the question, do you know about it? Did you confront the president about it? Because I don't want to be saying things and I don't have information. I want to be able to speak accurately about the subject. Well, nobody would talk to me, or nobody called me back. And I was so frustrated because, to me, it's a big issue. It is a big issue that the health of millions of Americans is at stake. And never mind, people around the world, too, that are getting some of these products that are made from abortion injected into them as a cure. And who knows what's going to happen to them down the road from this thing. It's damaged enough children, the vaccinations that contain mercury and aluminum and the aborted baby tissue. Ask anyone that has a child with autism. a lot of parents will tell you that, well, it was after they got the MMR vaccine or about when they were two. And of course, you can't even get a chickenpox vaccine that doesn't contain these aborted baby tissue remains in it, and then they're injecting it into your baby. So before anybody comes running after you with a hypodermic needle, my recommendation is to ask them for the package insert of, and who's making this vaccine, and can I please know what's in it? Please give me the package insert, because usually the package insert will tell you. In the vaccines that are used for children, it'll usually say human diploid cells. It might not identify the cell exactly, like the PERC6, or they have this other one that they use that they call HEC something 263 or whatever. And so you can see it in the package insert. You can even find some of these package inserts online. But that would be my question is, what is in that thing that you're going to inject into my body, into my old parents, into my children, into my teenagers, into my husband, into my wife? And most people will never ask. And even if you bring up the subject, it sounds so science fiction to most people that they can't even believe that you're saying it. I was talking to a friend of mine a few weeks ago, and I was telling her about the vaccines and about what's in some of the vaccines. And she said to me, "Is that really true?" And I'm like, "Well, you know, first of all, I wouldn't be saying it if it wasn't true, because I'm not just going to make up a story about vaccines. And now there's plenty of information about it. They're even saying it on television now. CBS has said it, ABC News has said it, and even my local news channel mentioned it. So it's out there. The information is out there. For years, you never heard about it. Nobody talked about it. There was kind of a big rumble about it when President Trump took Regeneron, and of course, again, that he claims to be pro-life, but Regeneron was tested using aborted baby cells. I called the company myself, and they did halfway confirm it. Of course, I'm going to play an audio clip where a reporter had, they did confirm it. When I asked them if they used the aborted baby tissue for testing, they said that they were getting their cell lines from the National Institutes of Health, which is a government agency, which you will find out has funded some of this research. Many universities purchase the tissue from abortion, from Planned Parenthood, for research. They say Planned Parenthood says they don't sell it. But apparently they might accept some money for transporting it or whatever. Who knows what's really going on there. But there is a market for these things. And also, even today, someone can go for an abortion, and if you go to Planned Parenthood, they will ask you if you would sign a release that the baby, some of the tissues from the baby after the abortion, if they ask the mother if they would sign the release that the tissues can be used for scientific research, which is ghastly enough. And even some live births, even partial birth abortion, which it wasn't even partial birth. there's testimony. I need to find this website for you because there was testimony from an organization, and they have the videos there on their website of Planned Parenthood testifying that they sometimes babies are born alive and then they harvest the tissue after. And you say to yourself, how did we as a society become so hard-hearted that you could look at a beautiful baby, an innocent child laying there before you on a table, and the baby's alive, and they didn't say how they finally do away with the baby, but they do say, oh, on the videos, they say there's a big market for livers and for hearts and for things like that. So how did people become so callous in a society which is supposed to be civil? It's hard to comprehend. It really, really is hard to comprehend, but I'm going to get that website for you. But let me play some of these audios that I gathered. And there, it's quite shocking. It's quite shocking. But let me play this first. I'm going to play this audio here, and you'll hear President Trump promoting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which now I called Johnson & Johnson on Monday too. And I spoke to someone, I guess a spokesperson or whatever there. And I asked her, I said, do you use the aborted baby cell lines in your vaccine? And she said, well, let me go check. So she comes back and she says to me, no, we don't. Well, I had read on this website, Children of God for Life, which she does an excellent job. It's a Catholic website, you know, I'm not promoting Catholicism. The only thing is she does have an excellent, she's done excellent research on the vaccine. So she's got all the things written out there, and she has this, she has there that Johnson & Johnson is using the aborted baby cell line. So anyway, the lady from Johnson & Johnson tells me no. And then she says to me, can I get some information from you? So I said, yeah, sure. So she says, what's your name? Well, I don't mind giving my name. I don't have anything to hide. And so, but then she says, can I have your address? I said, no. Okay, what do I have to give you my address for? You know, I mean, either you do or you don't. So then I went back to the lady with from the Children of God for Life website, and I asked her, do you have the documentation from Johnson & Johnson? Well, sure enough, right on their website, they have the document. And let me tell you what the document says. The document on, and it's on their website, and it says that for more than 20 years, Johnson & Johnson has invested billions of dollars in antivirals and vaccine capabilities. The COVID-19 vaccine program is leveraging Janssen's proven AdVac and PerkC6 technology that provide the ability to rapidly develop new vaccine candidates and upscale production of the optimal vaccine candidate. So they're working in conjunction with this company, Janssen, to produce the vaccine. And PerkC6 is the cell line from the retina of an aborted baby. So they weren't telling me the truth. They weren't telling me the truth, but it's right there on their website, and I didn't write it. They did. Yeah. Anyway, here's President Trump recommending the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Today, Johnson & Johnson announced that their vaccine candidate has reached the final stage of clinical trials. This is record time. This is the fourth vaccine candidate in the United States to reach the final stage of trials. So we have four candidates already at a very late date, late being a very positive word in this case. Earlier this year, Johnson & Johnson anticipated that they would reach phase one trials by September, but due to our support under Operation Warp Speed and to some of the incredible scientists involved, they've reached phase three trials by September, far ahead of schedule. We encourage Americans to enroll in the vaccine trial. It's not only interesting, it'll be a terrific thing for our country. We encourage everybody to enroll, as many people as we can.
So there you go. And don't tell me he didn't know. He does know. He does know what's in these vaccines. And I have some audio to prove it. So anyway, I guess it was 2016 or 2017, it says President-elect Donald Trump met with Robert Kennedy Jr., who is a big advocate. Now, here's a guy that's not even conservative in the least or Christian, and he is a big vaccine information proponent, and he's a big proponent for vaccine safety. Anyway, they met, and I remember I heard Donald Trump say it, that he had a friend whose child was injured by vaccines, and he was going to try to make them safer. So anyway, he met with Robert Kennedy Jr., and he was going to be on a commission for vaccine safety. But anyway, it never happened. It never happened because here, when it came right down to it, they threw safety right out the window, and they're going to put these vaccines out. I think Johnson & Johnson got $500 million of government funds that had to come from the Trump administration to develop these vaccines. So in my mind, if you're really pro-life, if you're really a pro-life president, you do not pay vaccine manufacturers to develop a vaccine that's going to harm the American people. You pay a vaccine company to make a vaccine that's ethical, that does not test using aborted babies, does not put aborted baby DNA in the vaccine. That's pro-life. That's pro-life. That what he did is not pro-life. So I'm very, very, very disappointed. But it's politics, and that's politicians. That's politicians for you. So it's very, very disturbing. Very, very disturbing. And as far as the Pfizer vaccine, they claim that they do not use the tissue from abortion in their actual product, but they use the tissue to test. That's not ethical either. Anybody that's really pro-life, especially a president of the United States, would have stopped the practice immediately and somehow, some way, would not have allowed any of these cell lines to be ever used again. They should be destroyed and never used. There's no benefit. What possible benefit can it be to mankind to use the DNA from a murdered child in a medicine or in a medical test? There is no benefit from that. It's barbaric and it's inhumane. And so who's going to stick up for these children? Well, they say some people say, well, it's an old cell line. These cell lines are so old that it doesn't really matter. It does matter. On every level, it matters. On every level. So, anyway, let's listen to a couple more of these. And here's, of course, this is Mercedes Schlapp, and she's a communications director there at the White House. And so you'll hear what she has to say. And President Trump knew about these ingredients in the vaccines.
HHS and the National Institutes of Health will not renew a contract with the University of California, San Francisco to fund research involving aborted baby body parts or fetal tissue. The official statement from the HHS department included this: promoting the dignity of human life from conception to natural death is one of the very top priorities of President Trump's administration. HHS will also convene an ethics advisory board to prevent funding for such projects. And here to discuss this major pro-life news out of the Trump administration is Mercedes Schlapp, the White House Director of Strategic Communications. Mercedes is also a Catholic wife and mother and joins us now from the White House North Lawn. Mercedes, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
What sparked this directive from the White House?
Well, I think for some time, the Department of Homeland of Health and Human Services had been looking into this option of ending fetal research, tissue research. And so it was something that was brought to the attention of the president. The president made this decision. He was the one who said he did not believe that we should use any government funding for fetal tissue research. And that was a key message the president sent. He is someone who has been committed to the pro-life agenda since even his campaign. And this was a significant step that the administration made in ensuring that we weren't going to use taxpayer dollars to fund fetal tissue research that come from elective abortions.
Did the undercover Planned Parenthood videos released by David Daleiden from the Center for Medical Progress in 2015 play a role in this action?
You know, I don't know specifically. I can tell you that Senator Blackburn, for example, shared information with the president regarding her investigation into the use of the selling of fetal parts, which obviously has been so disturbing to watch those images. I can tell you for the president, this is something where he feels very strongly. It is ensuring that we don't use federal funding for abortions. It's why he's taken significant actions, including obviously stopping fetal tissue research from abortions being used in any way by the National Institute of Health, as well as, for example, his decisions that he made on Title X funding, which is, again, making sure that abortion providers wouldn't have access to those funds, which, as we know, would place a dent and have a negative impact on Planned Parenthood.
Should we anticipate to see more pro-life action from the Trump administration when it comes to fetal tissue research?
Well, I think this is a very significant step. This is actually stopping fetal tissue research in intramural projects that are managed by the National Institute of Health, as well as under the current statute, we need to have an ethics advisory board that would be involved in making these decisions regarding any fetal tissue research. So this is very significant in terms of ensuring that the federal funding is not utilized for these purposes. This is about protecting the sanctity of life, and also the fact that we're going to see investments being made of about $20 million to find alternatives to fetal tissue research. That is significant because we want to be able to produce additional models, different types of models, mm-hmm. so that we can continue making progress in this area of research, but again, not focusing on fetal tissue research that, as we know, has been used for so long.
Speaking of alternatives, Mercedes, what do you say to critics who claim restrictions on fetal tissue research will hinder medical progress?
It'll hinder medical progress? I don't think so. But if anything, it hasn't helped medical progress, that's for sure. And as you see that the president was aware that these tissues were being used and being sold. And of course, if he was going to have a committee with Robert Kennedy Jr., he would have known that too. And so even though he signed some kind of legislation or some bill or something that they would no longer allow any new tissue to be developed, any new cell lines to be developed, he didn't stop the use of the ones that were already there and being used. He didn't put a complete ban on all of this, all of these cell lines that were used, made from abortion. And also, universities can still get these cell lines, and they can get grants from the NIH. Well, they tried to make it a little bit harder by saying they had to go before an ethics committee to say why they wanted to use these cell lines. Well, no, if you're really pro-life, if you're really a pro-life president, you don't need an ethics committee to tell these people, ask these people why they want to use these cell lines and then to make a decision. Ethics, real ethics would say, we're not using these cell lines at all. I don't want to hear why you want to use these cell lines, because there's no reason why we have to use these at all. And they should be destroyed. And we should find ethical and moral ways to practice medicine and to test for medicines and vaccines and whatever to give to people that are made from natural ingredients, which there's one vaccine that's being made from the tobacco plant. So there are alternatives. No, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Whatever you do, that's your business. I'm just presenting the facts here as I know them. But let's hear now. This is kind of an oxymoron here. Here's the Catholic Church and their position.
I'm talking to you today from the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And one issue, and it tends to be a little contentious, are fetal cells used to make vaccines? The answer is yes. There were two elective abortions that were performed in the early 1960s, one in Sweden, one in England. Those cells that were obtained from those elective abortions have been used to make several vaccines. They've been used to make the hepatitis A vaccine, the chickenpox vaccine, the rubella or German measles vaccines, one of the rabies vaccines. Though it's the same cells that were obtained in the early 1960s, so no new therapeutic or elective abortions have been performed since then for the purpose of making vaccines. But the answer to the question, is there, you know, residual or very small quantities of trace DNA from those original abortions in the vaccines that I just mentioned? The answer is yes. Now, the Catholic Church, through the Pontifical Academy of Life, have weighed in on this issue, because obviously for the Catholic Church, abortion is a sin worthy of excommunication, a sin that causes one to lose, frankly, the ability to participate in the Catholic life. So I think Catholics have reasonably asked the question, can we get these vaccines? And the Pontifical Academy of Life, at the time headed by Joseph Ratzinger, who became Pope Benedict XVI, has ruled that, yes, it is okay to get. In fact, it's important to get these vaccines, because vaccines save lives. Vaccines prevent suffering. Vaccines prevent hospitalization and occasionally death. And the Catholic Church, like any major religion, cares deeply about the health and well of children.
Okay, so there you have another conflict of interest there, right? The Catholic Church claims to be pro-life, but when it comes to vaccines, even if they have aborted baby cell lines in them, if for the greater good, you can take these vaccines, because the Catholic Church is interested in the health of people. Well, how could people be healthy when you're injecting them with this stuff? There's no way. It's not natural. It's not natural. Even some of these vaccines are made from mice embryo? Like, I don't eat mice. Why do I want mice embryos or mice products injected into me? One was being made from something from a chimpanzee. Well, you know, why do I want anything from a chimpanzee in my body? You can't make this. You can't make it up. I know. I know. That's it. Politics. Politics. But it's crazy. Anyway, here's now here's President Trump, and he's talking about this Regeneron that he took. And now Regeneron was not made. The actual product, they claim, is not made from abortion, but they used the cell lines to test the product. So then again, a real pro-life president would not even recommend such a product. Here you go.
Medicines right now, and I call them a cure. I went into the hospital a week ago. I was very sick, and I took this medicine, and it was incredible. It was incredible. I could have walked out the following day.
That was President Trump in a Twitter post from earlier this week touting a new antibody cocktail as the cure to COVID-19. During the president's stay at Walter Reed, he received the therapeutic drug made by Regeneron Pharmaceuticals. It is a mixture of monoclonal antibodies. The therapy is not FDA approved and is still undergoing testing. We are also learning the drug was developed using cells from an aborted fetus, a practice the current White House administration opposes. Last year, the Trump administration pulled funding for government researchers using human fetal cells, but a White House spokesperson tells CBS News the cells used for Regeneron's antibody cocktail came from a fetus aborted before the funding ban. Therefore, the therapy is not a violation of their policy. Joining us to talk more about this is CBS News reporter Kate Smith. Hi, Kate. Welcome. So what is the Regeneron antibody cocktail? How does it work? And how were fetal stem cells used in the drug's development?
So, Tanya, this antibody cocktail that President Trump keeps talking about and is, you know, so in the center of the media right now, it's a therapeutic that's used to boost the immunity of a patient prior to the patient being able to, you know, create its own immunity itself. It's considered something that would happen at the very beginning of a patient's treatment for COVID-19. And the way in which Regeneron used fetal tissue cells is like this, and this comes directly from Regeneron. I spoke to them yesterday with a spokesperson. They're using an HEK293T cell. Now, let me break that down for you. What basically that means is it's a tissue cell that was derived from a fetus that was aborted in the 1970s in the Netherlands from the kidney area of the fetus. And why that matters is you use these fetal tissue cells as a way to test the potency of these medications. So incredibly important to note that, of course, the final product of this antibody cocktail does not have fetal tissue cells in it. However, you know, testing an essential component of pharmaceutical research, of course, they did use these fetal cells, and that's a common practice among pharmaceutical companies.
Drug, though, that was given to Mr. Trump that was tested in a similar way, is that correct?
That's exactly right, Tanya. They also used a drug called remdesivir. That's an antiviral, which was also used in, you know, Trump's medical progress for COVID-19. And again, in the very same way, and actually using the exact same cell line, those kidney cells, doctors used this and the pharmaceutical companies used these fetal tissue cells in order to, again, test the potency of these different drugs. Now, I think that's kind of what's so important here to note, is that the controversy is not that these pharmaceutical companies use these fetal cell lines in order to test the potency of their, you know, pharmaceutical offerings. That is the standard method of testing the potency of drugs. The controversy is not that. The controversy is that the White House is using these drugs, and they're not just using them. They are touting them. Trump is on Wednesday on Twitter called this the cure. He said it was a blessing from God that he received COVID, that he contracted COVID-19, and that it was his idea, in fact, to use these drugs. So again, it's so important to note that the controversy, why this is a story, is not that the pharmaceutical companies are using fetal cell lines in order to test their drug offerings. It's that the White House is using them after 3 years in office, trying to, you know, be against this kind of testing, you know, passing, you know, bans on research that would use these fetal cell lines, and just being vocally against this kind of research. It's a real about face.
And so how is the anti-abortion community, Kate, responding to all of this?
Well, Tanya, that's an excellent question, and it's one that we don't have a clear answer to right now. I reached out to all of the nation's top anti-abortion groups yesterday, and I wasn't able to get a clear answer on how they felt about Regeneron using fetal cells in the testing process. What they kept saying was that there was no use to fetal cells in the development of these drugs. Unfortunately, that's just not true. Fetal cells were used in the testing of Regeneron's antibody cocktail, as well as remdesivir. But what you see is that they're kind of they're splicing and dicing a little bit here. They're really focused on the production, that there are no fetal cell lines in the final product of these pharmaceuticals that they're using. So you see them really going over here. But the reality is that fetal cells, regardless of what these anti-abortion groups say, were used in the testing, which is an essential component of pharmaceutical research.
Of their fetus cell policy, sort of because of the timing of all of the science involved. But can you elaborate a little bit more on the Trump administration's response to this controversy?
That's exactly right, Tanya. When we reached out to a White House official yesterday, what they told us is that the use of fetal cell lines in these particular drugs for the remdesivir and the antibody cocktail are not in violation of the, you know, June 2019 ban of federal funding going towards government research towards pharmaceutical companies. However, it's very important to note here that while they might not be in violation of that particular rule that the White House passed last summer, it is in violation of generally how the president has approached the anti-abortion movement. So this particular law that he was able to pass, again, because these fetal cell lines were developed in the 70s, they are not technically against that. But the Trump administration has been vocally opposed to the use of fetal cell lines in general for pharmaceutical research, which include the final product of a pharmaceutical product, as well as the testing of it. So again, you know, you're seeing the White House distance themselves from it, but the reality is that the Regeneron antibody, it simply did use fetal cell lines in the development of that product.
Medicines right now, and I call them.
Yes, I guess there's a little bit of a conflict of interest there. I would say a little bit. That Jesus said, by their fruit you shall know them. So when it came to possibly trying to get reelected, maybe, then they threw all caution to the wind and they allowed these products to be developed using the cell lines from abortion, and then also these vaccines that they're getting ready to roll out, some of them in containing the cell lines. But here's a short list here. Well, this vaccine is being developed from China, CanSino Biologics Incorporated, Beijing Institute of Biotechnology, and they use the HEK 293 cell line in their vaccine. And they're also doing human trials, but there's been no money given from our government. Also, the University of Oxford vaccine, AstraZeneca, they use the HEK 293, which is from an abortion. And they've received $1.2 billion. For their human trials. And what they didn't, it doesn't look like they got it from our government, but they're on the short list for potential funding. And then you have the University of Pittsburgh vaccine. They use the HEK 293 cell line. Immunity Bio, Kay West, they use the HEC 293. They're not receiving any funding, though, from the U.S. government. But those are that's a short list there. And like I said, if you go to Children of God for Life and you click on vaccines, you'll see the current list here for the COVID-19. And she does a very good job here. She says aborted fetal cells, Moderna and NIAID. They use the HEC 293 in development and testing. NIAID is used as a spike protein. Terrible. And then she has Johnson & Johnson, which we already talked about. Johnson & Johnson, Janssen Tech, Johnson & Johnson Emergent, BioSolutions, Lindsay F. Kimball Research Institute uses the HEC 293 cell line. Of course, we just talked about the University of Oxford, which is in England, and partnership with Merck Germany. Let's see. Then there's AstraZeneca AZD 1222 halted. They said at this point that one was halted. CanSino, we talked about that one. University of Pittsburgh. And Massachusetts Eye and Ear uses the HEC 293 cell. And Inovia Pharmaceuticals uses the HEC platform. Alta Immune. Anyway, the list is 3 pages long, but I would recommend that you go, and then she tells you the ethical ones. She's got a whole list of the ethical vaccines. That's, here's one, yeah, there's one that was, there's one from Israel using placenta from newborn babies. And let's see, then there's one from British American Tobacco using tobacco, produced using tobacco leaves. That would be an interesting one. Of course, as long as it's not genetically engineered, but. Anyway, she's got the whole list there of the coronavirus vaccines, plus all the other childhood vaccines and the flu vaccine and the shingles vaccine and the rabies vaccine. So she's got one of the best lists that I've seen on this documentation. So here's another audio I wanted to play.
The heavily edited videos were secretly recorded and released by members of an anti-abortion group called the Center for Medical Progress.
Are you looking at 8 and 9 week specimens or only 6 and 4 months?
Group members, posing as potential buyers of fetal tissue for medical research, allege that employees of Planned Parenthood, a government-funded women's healthcare organization that also performs abortions, discussed the selling of baby parts with them. It's an accusation the organization strongly denies, saying it only charges fees to cover costs.
I want to be really clear. The allegation that Planned Parenthood profits in any way from tissue donation is not true.
While it is illegal to profit from tissue donations in the U.S., organizations may provide fetal tissue for medical research if the mother gives her consent. But conservative legislators are among those Americans who say it's still wrong.
This is an issue about our humanity.
Planned Parenthood is harvesting the body parts of unborn babies.
However, medical researchers in the U.S. have been working with fetal tissue for decades. It helps in the development of the polio vaccine and is helping treat diseases like Parkinson's and AIDS. Molecular biologist Akhilesh Pandey uses fetal tissue in his lab at Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, Maryland.
I feel that we are benefiting from many advances that have come out of research into fetal tissues, like pregnancy tests, like biomarkers for early detection of cancer, treatments for sickle cell disease.
Pandey notes that fetal cells can grow and replace cells that have been lost in adults due to disease.
When they're administered into humans, for example, into the brain, into the heart, into joints, they have properties that might be able to heal.
But some abortion opponents say using tissue from aborted fetuses is unethical. Irina Grosu is with the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C.
Fetal cells that have been derived either from a preterm baby or, for example, umbilical cord blood cells after a woman has given birth can be used, as well as in the cases of miscarriage. But in cases where a child had to die in the process or be killed for those tissue pieces to be used, that's not ethical.
But Pandey believes that if access to fetal tissue is restricted, scientists will have limited options.
I think it'll set us back by many years. And unfortunately, in the extreme case, it may take us more than many, many decades because we are not sure what processes that happen in the fetal tissues during development can be recapitulated, can be recreated by our other means.
While the public debate over the source of fetal tissue continues, scientists like Dr. Pandey will continue working with adaptable cells to develop vaccines and cures for countless numbers of debilitating diseases. Julie Tabo, VOA News, Baltimore, Maryland.
It's insanity. It's total insanity. They're using these cells to inject into people's brains it can only make people worse. It doesn't require that. You don't have to have a PhD to try to figure that out. It's totally unnatural to do these kind of things to people. And there's a better way to do medical research than to have this kind of ghoulish thing going on in the so-called civil society. It's hard to believe it actually is happening. It really, really is. And like I said, I felt like it was a total betrayal for the president to promote some of these vaccines that have been made in this most unethical way. It to me, it was a real sellout, and I'm very, very disappointed. I would never support any politician or any president that would promote the use of these cell lines ever. And so I think we have to be aware of these things. And know those who so-called labor get labor with us, but or are laboring supposedly on the side of life and on the side of the unborn, which, anyway, it's a terrible, terrible business, the whole thing. Terrible. But if you go to the website Center for Medical Progress, that's the Center for Medical Progress. They have the videos there. Some of the people that work for Planned Parenthood, they were called to testify in depositions. And so there's a lot of things that are revealed in these depositions, which are very, very shocking. And you wonder to yourself, are some of these women mothers? And they're participating in these partial birth abortions where actually the babies are being born alive and then they're harvesting their tissues. How can they do these kind of things? How can a woman do these kind of things to a baby? It's just unbelievable. But anyway, the best politician in the world is Jesus, even though he's not a politician, but we put our faith and trust in God. And if I was talking to the president, I would be asking him, why? Why did you do this? Why are you allowing this? Because it's going to hurt people far worse than the coronavirus is hurting them, is to be injected with this stuff. And anyway, know what's in your medicines. Know what people are doing to you ahead of time, because they can sure fool you, let me tell you. Sometimes they give you things and they don't expect you to ask. And they even get insulted because you do ask what they're doing and what's in that. But always ask questions, especially when it pertains to your babies. You want to know what they're injecting into your child, what they're asking your child to swallow, whatever. And it's heartbreaking, really. It's really, really heartbreaking. But we hope that this will be an educational program, because they are getting ready in the next few weeks to roll these things out. And there'll be millions and millions of people in this country and around the world that'll be taking these vaccines. And it could be very, very devastating to people. I felt so put out about it all week thinking about it. And I thought to myself, well, I'm just one small person. What can I do? I can only do so much to get the word out, because it's a big thing when you think about the millions of people whose health is at stake ultimately from this. And there was also, I thought I put this clip up there, but it doesn't look like I did. This Dr. Plotkin, and you can see some of his videos on YouTube, but he's a big proponent of using these cell lines. And in one of the audios, he even confessed that they add aluminum, which to stabilize these vaccines. Well, you're not supposed to be injected with aluminum, because they found that aluminum actually can cause Alzheimer's and some of the brains of Alzheimer's patients. They found a lot of aluminum, which could come from cooking with aluminum or getting these vaccinations that have aluminum in them. And not only that, some of them had mercury with it, which they called thermomysol. I think you pronounce it that way, but thermomysol. But it's a mercury product. So we know how toxic mercury is. Now, why would they put it in a vaccine? Anyway, we need some good ethical doctors, and we need more people speaking out about this, and also to have a word with the president, because it's not right that he should promote these things to the public at large when it could really hurt people. Our leaders should be protecting us and doing what's right for us, and not doing things to hurt us for political gain or whatever, because at this point I don't know if it matters, but because he's not going to be the president next in January, but he could have been a real champion for right to life and for the unborn, but he didn't. He compromised, and it's very, very sad. It's extremely sad. So anyway, that's our program for today. So God bless you all, and thanks for tuning in. Thanks to everybody that stopped by in the chat room, all my friends there, Brother Vince and Shannon and Rick. It's great to see you all. And remember, the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I know back in 1980, 81, when I got down on my knees and I asked Jesus to come into my life and I asked him to forgive me of my sins and to be my Lord and Savior. And I woke up the next morning and I was a changed person. Old things passed away, and behold, all things became new. And I know that Jesus changed my life. Nobody can change your life like Jesus. It's miraculous how you change, how your thinking changes, how your thinking changes, and how your morals change, and everything changes, and your eyes are open, and you can see the light. People say, well, I'm trying to find myself. You can find yourself. You can find yourself in Christ, and that's the way you find yourself, and that's the way you find peace, and that's the way you find joy. And Jesus said in the third chapter of John, he said, ye must be born again. He said it. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And Romans 10:10 says, confession is made unto the mouth with salvation. You must confess the Lord Jesus Christ and confess your sins. And he will come into your life and he will be your Lord and he will give you a good life, a life that I'm not saying you won't have trials and tribulations, because you will, but he will help you get through it. We can rely on Jesus during this crazy time that we're going through. If it wasn't for the Lord, I don't know what we would do. Because I could see where, you see, here are these people committing suicide. Here was a guy this week, or was it last week, he started the shoe company, Zappos, and he sold the company for $1.2 billion. And here he's so messed up that he's inhaling laughing gas. And he started a fire somehow, and he died in a fire in a shed. So it doesn't. You can have all the money in the world and you could still be a miserable person because you don't have peace. Your money could only buy you so much. Not that there's anything wrong with having money, because we have to have it to live, but it didn't help him. It didn't help him that he had to use drugs and he had to die inhaling laughing gas. But there's no better life than the Christian life. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He promised that. So no matter what you're going through today, God can help you. Jesus said he was the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace, and there'll be no peace on the earth until the Prince of Peace comes back. And we can really see that in the days that we're living in. We can really see that. We need God more than ever in our lives. And there's a lost and dying world out there that need the gospel. So give your life to Jesus. He loves you more than anyone else. He gave his life for you. God bless you.